and let's worship Him.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. He's worthy of praise today, is He not? Amen. Good to have each one here. Let's open up our Bibles. Thank you, Lord. Brother Rocco here this morning. Brother Rocco actually wants to be baptized as well in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to do that. Do that right after service today. So, expecting great things from the Lord today. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll stay on our series here on Sundays of going back to Ephesus. Now, the Bible told the younger sisters to learn from the elder. Get up here on the front row. See that? Praise the Lord. I guess Brandon got it. Just elder, not old. Just a little older than the other sisters. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. I'd like to preach this morning the message of grace. The message of grace. Let's bow our heads together. If you have a need, go ahead and lift that to the Lord. The raised hand, I believe He'll hear you this morning. Fulfill your desires. God bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You again for bringing us here this afternoon, Lord, and understanding by the word of this hour that this is a predestinated moment, Lord, and I pray that You'll have a predestinated outcome, Lord, and that You'll take away any sin, any fortress of the enemy today, Lord, that if there's any of us with any blackness in our hearts, that, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, it would leave today. Lord, if that there's any sin or sickness, Lord, that Your Spirit could come and abide, Lord, and that the shackles of the enemy would fall off the children of God today. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You've already promised You'd be here, and we already feel Your presence amongst us, Lord. Now we pray more than anything that You'll help us to step aside, help us to take our carnal mind and throw it in the trash can where it belongs, and let the mind of Christ abide in each one that's here. May we go ahead and leave Defiance, Ohio this afternoon, and may we raise up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where all things are possible. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. We pray that the Word would come off the pages and into the hearts of us, Lord, and change us and mold us and make us into Your image, we pray. We ask it all to be so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this afternoon. A couple of things I wanted to announce before we get right here into the Word. Excuse me. We're having, Lord willing, this Saturday, I'd like to have communion service. Knowing that Easter is actually on Sunday, I thought that was pretty fitting. We'll go ahead and get communion in the day before. Because as the one man said, I don't want no trouble at the Jordan. And that's why we understand. We've taught on communion a few times. Why do we take it? Why do we do it? It's to help keep the church clean. Because, really we should be doing that every day anyhow. But I tell you, even as a Christian, you just go that much more searching your own life when you know you're about to take the Lord's Supper. And I hope you do, or you probably don't need to be taking it. That's what, and people want to think, oh, I'm not worthy to take the Lord's Supper. That's not the way to approach it. If you want to be in fellowship with God, you're in a good condition to take communion. Why do we take communion? It's because it gets us to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm ready to be clean. Just wash it all out of me. And if he comes and then he reveals something, you need to make that right with brothers and sisters. Lord, I'll do that right when I get out of here. And then you go on. See, it's really for your good. Because I hate condemnation. I hate knowing there's something wrong. I hate feeling that in my heart. I like feeling free. So that's why the Lord lets us come into his presence, even if there is sin in your life. He lets you come in so that it can get exposed, and then it can leave you. Amen. But it just comes down to whether you and I are willing to fess up and say, you know what, Lord? Yep, you're right. I'm wrong. Forgive me again. Wash me again. And try me once more. I'm here to serve you to the end. Amen. People think that to cower down and be like, well, I'm not worthy. Really, you're just being proud. You're trying to get saved yourself. It's the Christian that realizes, I ain't worthy. But he is, and he was, and I'm worthy because he made me worthy. That's real faith. That's real Christianity right there. Amen. Free communion lesson, I guess, today. But that's this Sunday, Saturday at 5, I'd like to have communion sermon. We'll follow with foot washing as well. I believe Jesus told us to do that. And that's one thing I love doing, because he said, happy are ye when you do this.
Right. Amen.
So you should leave foot washing feeling happy. Anybody not want to feel happy today? Oh, y'all ain't going to be honest with me, are you? I like to feel good. But only the real joy, the real peace, the real happiness that comes from God. Also, I received a call yesterday, and this kind of came out of nowhere, but it was Brother Sampson gave me a call. And I guess he's coming back to the States here soon. And he asked me if there's any dates, and I said, well, tell me when you're around. And tentatively right now, like I said, I just heard from him, and this is the day that seems to work. It might work. We'll see how it goes. But April 30th, which would be the last Wednesday of this month, and Lord, you know, provide a way that it can all work out, him coming and going and things. How many appreciate Brother Sampson last time he was here? I did as well. And if I can do something to get him here and he can bless us again with his presence from coming all the way from India, I'd like to do that. But we know that the Lord have his way. Amen. One other thing I'd like to say, I just started this on the website. If you haven't seen it yet, I put a missions page on there, so that way I can just, if you don't catch up with the emails I put out there, I put that online. So now you can go there. And actually, I got one from Brother Sampson, so I went ahead and put that on there too, just so you can see that, you know, the Lord's still working and things. I think he actually grew some facial hair out, so it's kind of hard for me to notice. Who is that man right there? No. But anyways, I think that's all. Remember, after the service today, Brother Rock wants to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and we'll do that after service is done. Amen. Well, now speaking on our scripture here, Ephesians chapter 2. Anybody else a little toasty this morning, or is that just me? It's just me. It's always just me. Lord, help me to quit wearing some clothes. Ephesians chapter 2. We've been teaching on Ephesus, and I hope that you've caught the spirit coming into the church now, and at least in these last few weeks, that we haven't had the evangelical services that we always have. We've been having teaching services, and I'm talking real Holy Ghost teaching services. Say, Brother Andrew, how do you notice that? Because isn't a bunch of screaming and hollering? Not necessarily when I'm preaching, because you're letting the word have effect. You're letting it get into your heart and change something. But it didn't just sit there, did it, Brother Kent? When the Spirit of God begins to, when we begin to understand who we are, we begin to understand who the devil is, we begin to understand who's on our side, who's against us, and how to fight him, that's when we move forward.
Amen.
The evangelical services, and I don't want you to get confused here. Can we have joy in people in full of glory? Yes, and I want that every service, and that's not why teaching services ain't what the message taught us for years, at least the message people. I don't think the message ever taught us this, but the message people did. That we just get bored, and we just watch, and we just write down our notes, and oh man, wasn't that a great service. And God, where's he at? What happened? That's not teaching in the gospel. The teaching that Paul said is that I didn't come with enticing words Amen. Of man's wisdom, but I came in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That your faith would quit resting in me, Paul, but it would rest in God. And if there was more men of God who would realize that they can't do anything for the people, then they would maybe get on their knees and say, God, use me because I can't help them.
Amen.
But I know you can. Amen. And I know you ordained gifts and offices in the church to help the body. Amen. What's the problem? Too much pride wants to get into the body of Christ. God uses a man for one thing, and all of a sudden he gets all lifted up about it, and what happens? He tears down what God built up in it.
Amen.
Find a good king in the books of Kings and Chronicles and all those things. And watch what happens the second he thought he had something to do with it. Second, he thought that he was something. All of a sudden, he came crumbling down to where even David himself, listen to me now, ordained of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, told years before that he would be king. When he got lifted up enough to say, you know what? I'll take any woman I want. Isn't that what happened? He didn't get away with it, did he? Because anytime you get lifted up in pride, you destroy the works of God in your life. And if you begin to think, and look, that's why we're talking about grace today. And I'm gonna really hit this hard, because if you're one kind of person, you're going to think grace is legalism. You'd be surprised, but you'll think it's legalism when I'm done with this. If you're another kind of person, you'll think grace is just do whatever you want, I guess. Well, it goes to show you're going two different camps. You're going northeast and southeast. I want to go east. I want to go to glory. I want to actually head straight up, if that's all right. I don't want to go left, right, down, any of that. I want to go right in the right direction. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say it was kind of the way, and you can change this way a little bit. He said, this is it. And the Bible told us in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever that way was, it still is. And it always will be. What is grace? Most of you know, at least, actually, let me just break down here. I want to show you a few quotes that surprised me when I was looking through about grace. Brother Branham says this in The Message of Grace. That's what he preached, and I challenge you to go listen to it. I thought it was phenomenal. At least what I remember of it. 61. Brother Branham says this. He says, then I chose this morning, being that the message was so attacked, another thing that I'm so gotten after is preaching grace. So he says, out of all the things that I preach, and we ain't just talking cutting hair and wearing dresses and being just a good person and all, you know, just being wholesome and clean. He's saying, what people get after me the most is teaching grace. Most of us say, how in the world is that? Isn't that what everybody wants? They think they do until they see what grace is. They see the responsibility that goes with true grace. They see what it really means if you have the grace of God. And when they begin to see that, they go, oh, I don't know about this. Because what they really want is just mercy. I hope you're listening to me. They want to stay a sinner and get mercy. They don't want grace. They want to stay a sinner. I think you're catching it already. It is the sign of the end. 62. Brother Branham says this. And I said, you know what it is, Tommy? Your Greater Chicago Ministerial Association is going to challenge me on the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And I think we all know the story when they challenged Brother Branham on his teaching. And most of us would have caught that. But he also says this. The Greater Chicago Ministerial Association is going to challenge me on the evidence of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, which means saying it wasn't speaking in tongues. They're going to challenge me on the serpent seed. And most of us would be like, okay. The last one he says, and on the preaching of grace. I think we need to understand what this grace really is. I think we need to get past just a casual understanding of who we are in God and what he has chosen in us before the foundation of the world and realize, God, I need a revelation of this. If grace is what everybody always thought it was, then why are we still here? Because last I checked, amazing grace will get me to glory. Isn't that right? Haven't we sang that song for hundreds of years now? What's the problem then? Is the grace has been twisted. Grace doesn't mean live any way you want to outside of Christ. It means live any way you want to as long as you're in Christ. Grace doesn't mean do this and do that and then one of these days you'll be good enough to be saved and go to heaven. Grace means you recognize you're not good enough. You recognize that you deserve hell. And that takes dropping a lot of your pride to realize you deserve hell. Amen. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't lie. I don't steal. You are the filth of the earth. Because before man, there was no sin here. There was no darkness at all. It was pure light. But then man decided that tree of knowledge of good and evil looked a little bit tastier than the tree of life. And people will shake heads, and I agree with you, it was the most foolish decision Adam and Eve ever did make in their lives was to take, and I'm sure 5 seconds after it happened, they recognized that was the dumbest thing we ever did. But here we are in 2014, and the end of the Laodicean age, and what does the Bible declare? At least back then, they recognized what had happened. Now we're in a condition where people have no idea that they're poor, wretched, blind, naked, and they don't even know it. Why? Because they're being taught grace that is not grace. They're either being taught grace to become disgrace or grace becomes legalism. And both paths, I hate to break it to you if you're a legalist or if you're just floating around doing whatever you want, both those paths are not the way.
Right
in between those two camps. You've got to come to perfect understanding of grace or you'll never be a successful Christian. I say that the same today. If I get away from the grace of God, I can do nothing.
Amen.
Because when you leave grace, you leave Christ.
Amen.
And you can do it both ways. You can leave grace and make it disgrace. To where all of a sudden you start doing things that you know you ought not to be doing.
Sure.
You'll destroy your experience right there.
Amen.
Because it's not because God has left you, you left Him.
Amen.
He's the source of success.
Right.
Real success. The devil's success is just gone anyways. It's going to burn and blow up, but God's success is eternal. And if you go to disgrace, you begin to pull off the wrong tree, you begin to pull off the wrong life, and it will destroy because that's all sin can do. And if you come over to this side, where you become legalistic, say, oh my, I've got grace, so I have to do this and this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to keep myself saved. You know what you just said? God, your sacrifice on Calvary was not good enough. I'll take care of it. What a blasphemous thing to say in the face of the Son of God. You might as well be the ones that spit on Him and put Him on the cross. I know that's strong to say today, but that's what you're doing when you say the atonement wasn't enough. We're not here to have a nice evangelical service, as I said before. We're here to learn from the gospel truth what grace is. Why was Brother Brandon persecuted so much for teaching this? Because from what I just told you, what church isn't thrown out into the trash with what they want to teach? They're either one camp or the other. There's only a fair few that'll stay on the Word. How are they going to stay on the Word? Because they are the Word.
Amen.
They're not trying to stay on the Word. They just are the Word, and they have to be that.
Amen.
That's where we're going to get into grace. That's all right. Brother Branham teaches the adoption series. Got the book here. I hope you don't mind me quoting quite a bit today. I was going to put it on the computer, but I was at the ACT. I proctored it, and my brother Rocco was trying to call me. Kind of felt bad sitting there going, man, I'm right in the middle of a test, you know, and I was going to call him right away, but I like that sincerity when you want to get to God. When you want to get back, hey, I want to get there. I want to find that water as fast as I can because I want to be right with God.
Amen.
And I so appreciate that. Amen. You can tell a man that gets a revelation that they need to do something to be right with God because then they get on it. You don't got to sit there and, come on now, don't you know you need to get in church and read your Bible and come on. You don't do that. That doesn't convert anybody. Why? You left grace and you went to legalism again. Because now you're even worse. Because you think you can save someone else, not even just yourself. Not only can you keep yourself saved, but you can save brother over there. No, sir! Hallelujah. How many understands adoption today? Let me just explain that for a second here. We know that adoption in the Bible is spoken of many times, and I'll bring it back to our scripture that we started with. But adoption in the Bible is not like what we have in this country, where you take a child that was somebody else's, and since they don't have any parents, you become their parent. That's not the way adoption works in the Eastern countries. We're a Western civilization, and that's why it's so hard in America to get anybody to understand anything of the Bible. Because they've been listening to the wrong framework to even understand how the Bible was written in the first place. Back in the Eastern countries, a man would have a son, and you didn't have really a choice to get a new trade. You were going to take your father's business because there wasn't electronics, there wasn't travel, what were you going to do? If your father's a carpenter, guess what, buddy? You're going to be a carpenter because there's nowhere else for you to go unless you just get a stroke of luck somewhere.
Right.
That's what you were going to do. And as he began to raise, you know, the man would teach his child to do the right things and to lead and to guide him and to show him how to be a real carpenter, how to be successful. But there was a period of time where he couldn't give him the business because he crumbled it.
Right.
And aren't you glad you met Christ when you needed to? Whew, my, I can't imagine if I'd have understood what I do after I got the Holy Ghost before I did, I don't know what I would have done with it. I'd have put us all in hell by the time it was over. And I tell you what, you'd probably have done the same thing. But I'm glad that God knows the predestinated moment to get a hold of my life.
Amen.
And he would raise his son. The father would look at him and just keep a surveillance on him until he got to the right age where he could recognize that he's just as good at the job as he is. As the father is, so is the son now. And God did that with his own son, as we understand. Jesus Christ was born the Word. He was perfect from the womb. He had no sin whatsoever. But God had a predestinated moment to adopt him for his earthly ministry.
Amen.
And that was at River Jordan at the age of 30. He He went down and received the Holy Ghost. That's why you don't see the miracles happen until after that. Because Jesus really, in the flesh, could do nothing for anyone.
Right.
He was still the Word. That's why when they tried to question him about who his Father was, he had to tell them the truth. I'm about my Father's business down here in the temple, preaching against denominations. I'm doing what my Father told me to do.
Right.
They thought, what does Joseph have anything to do with that? They didn't realize he wasn't talking about Joseph. He was talking about the Heavenly Father. But there came a day when the Spirit of God came and indwelled him, and he said, this is the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then he begins his earthly ministry, and then you begin to see the miracles and the power of God, and changing water to wine, and raising the dead, and casting out devils. You don't see that before that, because you have to have the Spirit with the Word for it to act.
Amen.
That's why right now, people read the same Bible I am. They'll read the same quotes I will read to you. But why doesn't it live? Are they in the Spirit of the Word? Without the Spirit to go with the Word, it's just as much as having a seed with no water. It cannot grow.
Amen.
It can't become what it is. I'm not saying people ain't Christians. Sure, they're predestinated. If they are, they've got the seed of God. They've had it since the foundation of the world. It needs to live, which means it needs the right atmosphere.
Amen.
It needs the right ingredients. It needs the right teaching to know what we need to grow.
Good.
All right. And God would take us, and I say God adopt us today. At least recognize who we are and what we're capable of. Let me read that scripture. And you hath he quickened. I'm going to see Ephesians 2 again. What did we do there? Somebody explain that to me real quick. What did we have to do? It says, and you hath he quickened.
Amen.
It didn't say you have quickened yourself. That's not what the Bible had to say about it. What does quicken mean? Take something that's dead and make it alive.
Uh-huh.
You hath he quickened.
Uh-huh.
Who were dead in sin and trespasses. Look, this isn't to unconverted people.
Right.
If you're not converted today, this is not for you yet. Because you're still dead in sin and trespasses. He's talking to people that aren't dead in sin and trespasses, but have been made alive. When, how, and where were we made alive? Let me read the rest of the scripture. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, which we know is none other than the Antichrist spirit himself, walking in the midst of unbelievers. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations. There goes your pride about how good you and I were, because we all were under the same thing. You saying Paul was? Yes. Are you saying Peter was? Yes, sir. Are you saying Brother Branham was? Yes. People get the. Do you think Brother Andrew was? I'm not going to say is, because I've been changed. I have been adopted by the Holy Ghost for the work he has me to do on here on earth. I'm waiting for the adoption to get me out of here and do what I need to be doing in heaven. Hallelujah. We all had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. Now you begin to see the problem. It wasn't that we were the children of wrath. It was our nature was to be a child of wrath. Was to be an unbeliever. Because we weren't converted yet. I tell you right now, the conversion, I'm just going to spoil some of this early. The conversion doesn't make you a son of God. You always were a son of God. So I hope you take this right. I don't really want unbelievers in here. I don't mind having caged believers in here that haven't recognized that they're believers yet. I want those that are believers on the inside to be here. So they can see the power of God come and expose what they're caged up in and take it away. Because an unbeliever, you can't change him if you wanted to. Now, do we know, are we free to, do we have the foreknowledge that God did to know who is saved and who is not? No, and I thank God I don't. I don't know how I can make it day to day, and to be honest with you, I don't know how God puts up with this world knowing what's going to happen soon. You wonder why it's going to be burnt off and taken off, because it needs to be done with. Just imagine, we hear the news, and we hear this death, this murder, this rape, this love. Imagine you know it all. World around. How many murders do you think take place every day? And I'm not just talking just, you know, oh, he gets mad and he shoots somebody. I'm talking things that are not we can't speak about. How evil some of this stuff is. And the world is continually losing their mind. What is the only thing holding back the wrath of God is God's children being ready to go home.
Amen.
Verse 4. verse 4, three. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Listen to this now. This is where I'm going to start hitting what we're talking about. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Did you catch that now? When you were still walking as a sinner, you were already quickened when Christ raised from the grave. Because it's not the real you that was living in sin. The seed is who you are. The soul is who you were. And we know the prophet already taught it, that the Word was from before anything. God was the Word. And in Him was you and I. The attributes of the Word. The Logos. And in there was the attributes of God that never started, never end, and always will be. And when Christ came, the entire Logos was put into a human man. And he stood on earth. There was never a man like Christ. You may have part of the Logos. He was all of it in one man. Just as Adam, unconsciously to Adam though, but Christ wasn't unconscious. He knew all about it. There was a bride in him the whole time. And when Christ came, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in him was every attribute, every Christian that ever would come or ever was. You got it? This is the predestination of God. It was all in him. And when the sin curse needed to be paid for, because he said, God already declared, the day you sin, that day you die. So every sin needed a death. God didn't punish his own son by sending to the cross. He was punishing for sin. God saw that sin needed to be paid for. He knew he needed a man to pay it. And no man was worthy. So God became man.
Amen.
God, the Logos, the eternal spirit, became a man.
Amen.
The greatest mystery that's ever hit the earth. That God and man could be one. And we're being restored back to that. Not Christ himself on earth. You and I,
Amen,
being the same life, lived again in another vessel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To do what? To prove the resurrection really happened.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. And when he sat on the cross, you and I were in him because the Logos was in him. And the Spirit left. Well, you understand, he had to die a man.
Amen. Amen.
But in him, we died.
Amen.
In him, our sin was paid for. We've already died for it. You call that blasphemous, but it's the truth nonetheless. Every Christian died in Christ on the cross.
Amen.
Why do I need to die for my sins? I've already done it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I didn't, but I did in him. Hope you're hearing me today. He went down, and we know we already talked about that on Wednesday. He preached to the souls that were lost. He went into his third full ministry, which we know we're going into now. And I would guarantee to say we're just in it. And we're just unconscious to most of it.
Right.
I can't imagine how many times you and I have preached the gospel to somebody and we don't see them again, and that was their opportunity right there.
Right.
And now today they're crying for torment, wanting to be right here in this seat where you and I are. God have mercy on any man that'll hear the word of this age and not get right with God.
Amen.
You've had the most vindication of anything that's ever hit the earth. Even Christ's own ministry didn't have the vindication we have in this day. There's been more raised from the dead. There's been more healed. There's been more visions fulfilled. There's been more happened in this time than ever has happened. And God didn't even just leave it to the prophet that still lives now.
Amen.
To where it still even happens in this four-walled building right here. To where I don't even know if I'm going to get all the testimonies on one sheet this month. And I'm okay with that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And what are the testimonies? What has it been? You tell me. Somebody said the word, and it became reality.
Amen.
Not just, well, I feel better, I think, no, it happened the way we said it would.
Amen.
Why? Because you and the word are one again.
Amen.
I'm talking about grace today. I'm talking about this message of grace. That's what the message of the hour is. It's grace. It's the truth of what God did before the foundation of the world. What is grace? Unmerited favor. A choice made without our input.
Right.
You're saying, I got saved because I chose the Lord one day. No, sir. No, sir. The reason you ever even thought to choose him, he already chose you. He already chose you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Hallelujah. Even when we were dead, verse 5, and since hath he quickened us together with Christ. And what does he say right after that? By grace are ye saved. What is he saying there? People think grace is mercy. It's not the same thing. Mercy is he knows that I'm a sinner. I've asked for forgiveness. He gives me mercy. And Christians need mercy for their sins. Absolutely. But the only way you can ever get back to the presence of God is by grace that he already chose you.
Amen.
Before you did anything. We've already went through the lives, didn't we? Esau and Jacob. Esau would have been a better selection in our minds as far as a good man. As a man that would work with his hands. As a man that would follow what his father had to say. And here's little sissy boy Jacob that just runs around and cheats and steals and lies. But God could see past all that, and he saw the, who they really were. And he saw that Esau didn't care for the things of God, and Jacob loved it.
Amen.
And that Jacob was a believer caged. Esau was just an unbeliever in Christ. That the purpose of God, according to what election might seem, the Bible already declared, and we know that the word was not, it was always was. The word always was. He had already said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, and neither one of them had even been born yet. Because the purpose of God stands in election, and election comes from grace, because God has already unmeritedly chosen his bride. Tough thing to swallow, isn't it? When you begin to hear what grace really is. Man, why did God just pick these and these and these? He's God. He can do what he wants. See, you can try to say God's unjust. I'm going to tell you right now, that court appeal don't exist no more. Don't the unbeliever hate that? Oh, God ain't worth serving. Are you kidding me? You serve this God a week, you'll realize he's worth serving. You serve him just out of ritual, and it's still better than trying to live the way the world does.
Sure.
You know, what's a better way than to not commit adultery, not steal, not lie, not cheat, and do the right thing? You will reap benefits just from doing that. Why do you think all the big companies will give to charities and things? Because they've recognized we get benefits from doing that.
Right.
Why? It's the law of God. You see, we're not preaching grace that doesn't tell you you reap what you sow or that you're not going to. You will. Oh, absolutely, Christian friend. You make a mistake, you'll reap for it. Absolutely. And sometimes we need to recognize that and say, God, I'll have patience with you as you've had a million times more patience with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, we go to ask God for, we've been doing things wrong for so long, and he does forgive us, but look, if we didn't learn a lesson, we'll do it again. I'm glad something happens when I do something wrong. It's like, reckon, I don't want to do that again.
Amen.
God ain't letting that happen to destroy me. He's doing it because he loves me, because he has grace for me. He's already selected me. Why? He wants to adopt me.
Amen.
Why did God pick the son and daughter of God? He wants to see himself doing the job again through you.
Amen.
Through you. Through us. That's what he wants.
Amen.
And that would any, look, you guys are fathers and mothers, and if you're not, you surely relate to this. What do you want out of your children? What do you want? You want to see them excel.
Right. Uh-huh.
More than you do.
Right.
Isn't that right? I would much rather let all my success fall down if I knew that my son would be twice as successful as I would. Absolutely. Wouldn't think twice about it. And God did the same thing. When he became flesh, he says, greater works shall you do. How in the world can he say that?
Amen.
He wanted to.
Hallelujah.
He wanted to. See, everybody's got God as this big prideful beast. How are we going to be like him if we're not allowed to be proud at the same time? He's not proud.
Amen.
He's not. He just knows who he is.
Amen.
He's just recognized. It takes us a lot longer to figure it out, but he already knew who he was.
Amen.
Jesus didn't get pushed around by no devil. Why? He knew who he was.
Amen.
He knew who was subject under his foot the whole time. And it's time, Christian friends, to realize you're under a covenant of grace, and the devil's already under your foot.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. For by grace ye are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together. When were you raised from, when he rose from the grave, you were already raised with him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Not only one of us believed that. People think the message doesn't come from the scripture. They think it's some new thing that never did it. It's right there. When Brother Bram said, when he died on the cross, you died with him. That's what Paul just told us.
Right.
When he rose, you've already raised in him, and now you're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you are not an earthbound creature.
Amen.
You are a pilgrim and a stranger to this life. So even what your flesh wants to do in this life, you're foreign to it. Once you're converted, once that seed's been quickened and alive. But before that, you would just walk the concourse like anybody else. You cuss with them, you drink with them, smoke with them, do whatever anybody else was doing. You just went along. You sisters went ahead and chopped your hair off, got the new styles. You just let it slip right down and get those clothes all cut up any old way they wanted you to. Why? Because you were under the concourse of this world. But once the Holy Ghost came,
amen.
And he gets not just on you, in you.
Amen.
And he quickens something. But if there's nothing there to quicken, what good will it do? And that's where it comes down to predestination of God. Now, why did God predestinate? The Bible already told us. Before he knew it. He knew what every man would do or not do. Is salvation given freely to all? Yes. Has it since the beginning of time? Yes. To where even God, when he saw Cain, was looking for salvation.
Right.
He honored it. Uh-huh. And met with him. He said, come here, Cain. Actually, the Bible never says he said his name. It was a big change. God calls your name.
Right.
The angel, or I think it was Jesus said, he said, go get my disciples and Peter. Aren't you glad he said, and Andrew? Just to let you know, he wasn't leaving you out. But I'm sure Peter was having a hard time going, I denied him. I denied him three times. I ain't sold him. I don't even want to see him. You remember, because the last image he had of Jesus was him turning his face and looking at him right when he denied him.
Right.
And you know we've all been. When you know that you were before, and before you were converted anyways, and you were ashamed of them, some or ashamed of your family because they were Christians, and somebody making fun. Oh no, that, and then you kind of duck your head, then you just feel the Holy Spirit look at you, and you just saw, and just broke your heart. Why did Jesus let that happen to Peter? So he learned what grace was. He learned that before you did that, Peter. I already told you. Remember what he even said before that? He said, Peter, I know what Satan wants to do.
Uh-huh.
I already knew the whole plan. Don't worry about that, Bill. He wants to sit you like wheat, but I just want to let you know, I already prayed for you.
Amen.
How many wants the Son of God to come and tell you, hey, I prayed for you?
Oh,
would you realize that the Son of God stands in your midst now?
Amen.
In the hearts of every believer. It's not time to hear, I'm praying for you. Oh, that's nice. Okay, fine. The Son of God sings.
Amen.
I'm praying for you. Hallelujah. And I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter.
Amen.
He'll send the Holy Ghost to my name, that wherever I am, ye may be also.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Let me finish the scripture, and I want to read some quotes here today, if that's all right.
Amen.
And hath raised us together and made us. Thank you, Lord, for making me sit in heavenly places.
Amen.
I'm glad I didn't have a choice, because I might have chose something else. But I'm glad he already chose for me that I'm going to sit in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Why did he have to say it twice? Just to make sure they caught it.
Amen.
I put it in parentheses last time, but not this time. I'm going to let you know. By grace you are saved. And he adds something that the church needs to hear. Through faith.
Amen.
You have to believe with real, genuine faith, or grace will never manifest. Don't believe, you won't be saved.
Right.
Yeah, but he that believeth not is condemned
already.
Do you know the blood of Christ itself will not save you? I'm going to read this to you. This is, I think I can remember where it's at. If not, I'll find it. This is out of the adoption, page 107, paragraph 132. Brother Graham says this, by faith are you saved. That's your faith in God. The blood keeps you clean from sin because it makes a sacrifice. The blood doesn't save you. The blood keeps you clean. How you say you're saved? By faith are you saved. And that's by God's foreknowledge calling you. You are saved and the blood makes an atonement constantly keeping you clean.
Amen.
And then by one Spirit you're baptized into the Holy Ghost, into the fellowship of believers, into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, doing signs and wonders. You see what happens when you leave grace? What happens, you automatically, grace and faith are like our husband and wife. You can't have one without the other. They will go hand in hand. They will go hand in hand. And the only way to have success in God is to have faith in his grace. That he's already chosen you. stay under that, the blood will constantly keep you clean.
Amen.
That when darkness tries to come, it switches it right back out.
Yes,
and it tries to come again. No. You try to raise up and say, oh, that brother did me. No. Wash that out and start praying for the man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Too many. Remember we already read that about that root of bitterness springing up and many be defiled by that? Oh, no, that needs to get out of the church. Let the Holy Spirit judge what is black and white, and he'll do it.
Amen.
Even if it creeps into the church, yep. One time it happened in Peter's day. Peter didn't think, oh, yeah, I want a nice bed today. Holy Spirit came and realized, hey, this man is lying. Remember, they tried to give an offering and said it was so much, realized, no, but it's not. They're lying to you. And he said, you thought you were lying to us. You lied to God.
Amen.
He'll pack you out of here. Go on. You wonder why the church, how many's got faith for that, if that would happen to you? Lord, help us. Isn't that right? That really, if somebody with sin comes in and tries to lie to the Holy Ghost, you are in danger of dying on the spot.
Amen.
I even heard a testimony, I'm not going to say names, but a brother came and he told me, he was talking to your brother, they were traveling somewhere, and he had gotten in some kind of trouble or something, and he was telling the story, and he said he got an unction from the Holy Ghost and said, he went to his brother, he said, look, tell me the truth, I don't want to explain why you're dead in the car. The brother broke down and started crying, and said, that's what I thought, tell me the truth. How did that happen? The man knew who the Holy Ghost was.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost don't bluff. He's got the stuff. Is that right? He's packing the goods. You and I should have the same thing. How? By faith.
Amen.
He said it. I believe it. Yeah, I receive it.
Amen.
It has to be. That comes to healing. Healing only works by faith. Salvation only works by faith. Grace can only be placed on your life by faith.
Amen.
Without it, never be that. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now here's where, again, I told you already before, we didn't have nothing to do with this. Where did you get the faith from?
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Many people hear the word every day. Oh my, from the radio, it's the best-selling book there is the Bible. Why are so few saved?
Right.
Why are so few getting actually the Holy Ghost, not the same man?
Right.
I'm talking about a life change from the inside out. Why are so many falling short? Are they applying the word?
What?
Do they really have the gift of God? What? How happy we must be.
Amen.
You might have had to hear the word twice, three times, four times, 1,000 times, but aren't you glad one day it was able to sink past the mind and get down into your heart and convert a new life?
Amen.
The scariest place I could ever say for a Christian is if you can't recognize a day when your life changed. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now, I've heard people say that they don't know the time, place, or when they got the Holy Ghost, and I have a hard time with it. Maybe that way's for you, but I've never seen the Bible that way. I've never seen Brother Bram teach it that way. I've never seen it that way. Can Satan have you in some kind of teaching where you don't realize you have it when you do? Sure.
Right.
But I've never seen a woman give a child birth and go, I guess, did I have a baby today? It doesn't happen that way. There's too many signs before it gets here. There's too many things in motion before it gets here. The only way that could happen is you've lost your mind somewhere. Or you're just numb, spiritually numb head to toe.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I don't work that way in the spiritual realm. That's way above any natural thing. It's a symbol. That doesn't mean it is. I believe when you're born again in the Spirit of God, something happens.
Amen.
Something changes where you don't got to go around saying, I'm a Christian. Can't you tell? I got my Bible. Can't you tell? I got crosses.
Right.
Can't you tell?
Right.
They just watch your life. And they can say, oh my, I've seen that before.
Right
on the pages of this book here. Hallelujah. Read a few quotes this afternoon. Speaking about grace, Brother Branham said this. I'll find where I want to get to. How can you preach predestination of God's foreordaining and setting unless there's a sin atonement somewhere? Why is it? Each day you make a mistake. Each day you do wrong. But if you're born again, man or woman, as soon as you make the mistake, God knows you're sorry for it. You won't stand. You would stand in the presence of President Roosevelt or anyone else and say, I'm wrong. God forgive me this thing. Why? And there's a blood atonement there. You notice that. S-I-N-S. A sinner is a sinner. He does not commit sins.
Right.
So we're going to get this hard and home. But the church commits sins. She does wrong. Gets a wrong thought, wrong impression, makes scruples, wobbles like a little child walking, trying to learn how to walk. He just don't know how to walk good yet because he's a little boy. But we have a hand that reaches down and gets us and steadies us and says, make this step this way, son. He doesn't pick us up and spank us because we made a mistake. Sorry, I'm going to stop there. Too many preachers try to do that.
Amen.
Just because the child of God, and they'll do it right out of the chute. Look, if they're just converted, give them some time.
Amen.
You want, how long did it take? Thank God he waited on me to get some revelation with the stupid decision that I made right after I got the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'm a little baby, and I'm still not, I might be a toddler now, okay? Maybe. I hope, Lord, help me to grow. Let me help. Look, you don't grow into grace. You grow in when you're already in grace.
Right, amen.
You get in grace, and then he grows you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're not getting saved. You are saved.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
You're not a sinner anymore. You just commit sins.
Amen.
And there's an atonement that's always still there. Always.
Amen.
Christ just fulfilled it, but it was always there. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Just when you think, oh my, I did it this time. It's over. You can't do it now. Just remember that you were already forgiven before you were even born.
Amen. That's right.
Guess what? He knew about today.
How many
things he knew about April 13, 2014 before he got here? Yes, sir, he did. And if he gave you the Holy Ghost, you're going.
Amen.
That's right.
Because by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, not something we've worked on, not something we earned. It's the gift of God.
Amen.
Before you were born, God put that faith in your heart. He gave you a seed of faith that when you got here, you would believe.
Amen.
Now that seed has to meet a day where the Spirit can come and quicken it and bring it to life. Yes, sir. You must be born again.
Amen.
Hope you hear me. You can't just say you got a seed in your life the same as anyone else.
That's
You're
right.
not born again yet. And you might get to judgment day and realize you didn't have a seed.
That's right.
God have mercy. But if the seed's been quickened, why do we doubt it still?
Amen.
If life is springing up, where could it come from if there was no life there to begin with?
Amen.
By grace are you saved. This is the message to the church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. A real daddy wouldn't whip his child when he's trying to walk. If he falls down the floor, reach right down with a big, strong hand, pick him up, take both hands a hold of him, and say, this is the way you do it, son. Walk like this. That's the way God does his church. Reaches down and gets him in his arm, picks him up and says, walk like this now. Don't say like, don't talk like this now. I don't care what the church says, what this says and what that says. You say it like this. You say it like this. Like this. This is it. If my word preaches it, you stay right with it. Walk with it. Stay right with it. Don't care what anyone else says. Stay right with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're growing in grace. And he said, even time. Look, and this is the problem. We try to reform too many times. We need people to get converted. I hope you hear me. We try to, oh yeah, you kind of lie a little too much. You might want to try to stop doing it. You kind of cuss too much. You might want to kind of lay back on that. That's reforming.
That's
and
good.
It won't hold.
That's good.
People go to AA, I need to cut this alcohol out and go to these programs and stuff. And for a little while, they might be able to sedate them long enough, but that spirit ain't left you.
Right, right.
They might be able to get it to where they kind of resist a little bit, but I hate to break it to you, any of your old willpower. It'll break before those demon spirits will. There's only one power that can defeat the enemy, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I even just had a student. God have mercy on his soul. I hope one day he realizes that he needs to make a choice soon for Christ or it's going to be over. Because he's had opportunities time and time again to receive the Holy Ghost. And you only get so many.
Amen.
That's the predestination of God. And I'm glad God gave me just as many choices I need to finally say, yep, I'll take it.
That's right.
I'll take it.
Amen.
Going to... said he's going to quit getting in trouble. He got in real big trouble. And guess what? Here we are 6 months later, got in trouble again. Failed drug test. How stupid can you be? He goes to show it don't make sense because of the devil. Devil doesn't do things that make sense. Devil does stuff that's stupid. Now he's been telling me stuff that, you know, I don't necessarily take all my stuff from Christianity, but I believe what I believe is in there. Too lazy to pick up the Bible and actually find out, knowing that your soul's resting on the line, to find out if what I'm believing is really the truth or not. How stupid can you be? And men have gambled their souls for way less than that. Any love, love for anything, and that's the point when we talk about the rich young ruler and things. The love of money was his problem, but the love of anything.
Right.
If it's above the love for God, and they, the Bible never said they didn't have any love for God.
Right.
It just said they loved pleasures more than they loved God.
Right.
God help us, because it's so easy to fall into that. Because as a human in the flesh, we want to feel good in the flesh.
Sure.
But that's not, remember, when the Spirit does something, the Bible's pretty plain. The flesh doesn't profit anything.
Right.
So, you can feel good, feel bad. That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
If you're in the Word or not.
Amen.
That'll show whether you're on your grace or not.
Sure.
Let me read another quote here. Talk about reforming. I ain't here to reform anybody. I'm here to convert by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I probably should have bookmarked this. I hope you have some patience this morning. Is this all right? Now you say, well, he went out here and shot a man. What are you going to do about it? That ain't none of my business. I ain't a reformer. I'm a preacher. The law will take care of that. They're reformers. Well, he committed adultery. That's up to the law. That's between him and the law. I'm not a reformer. I don't reform people. I want to get them converted. I'm a preacher. See, my business to get him to God. If he sinned, that's his business. He's a sinner. God condemns him on a higher level. He's a sinner to begin with. He's condemned to start with. He didn't even get to first base. He's nowhere. He's a sinner to start with. He don't have any sins. He's a sinner.
Amen.
You couldn't go out and say this much is night and this much isn't night. No, it's all night. Just all night. That's what God said. That's right. He's just a sinner. That's all. Now, he did this. This much is night. And this is real bright night right here. I know, but it's just all night. That's all. See, I couldn't say this much is light right here. No, it's just all light. See, just light. You can't say how much. See, but if he's a black spot in this, then there's darkness in it. So sins. You got to understand, sins and sinners, two different things.
Right.
Sins, S-I-N-S. We have forgiveness of our sins through his blood, precious blood, according to the riches of his.
Yeah.
Amen. How do we forget it? Because we're worthy. We did something to get to have our sins forgiven. No, his what? Grace. Oh my. Nothing in my arms I bring, Lord. Nothing could I do. There isn't a thing I could do. Look, he predestinated me. He called me. He chose me. I never chose him. He chose me. He chose you. He chose all of us.
Right.
We didn't choose him. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. He said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him first, and all the Father has given me will come to me, and none of them's lost except the son of perdition to fulfill the scriptures. Because he said, he said, but all the Father given me will come to me. Grace will always go right back to predestination. Or it's not real grace. And you know what predestination will lead to? To election. And election leads to perfection.
Amen. Yes.
When the Lord came to Abraham and said, walk before me and be thou perfect. He wasn't asking Abraham to start doing things better and start doing this. He's saying, no, walk before me and I'll see what I saw before the foundation of the world walking on this earth and be perfect.
Amen. Yes.
Hey, Jesus told us to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect.
Uh-huh.
Now people want to twist that and say it means this, say it means that. I believe it means what it says. But once I found myself in Christ, I said, I can do this. Because he already did.
Amen.
And that's something we're shouting about. That's something worth getting excited about. Not just feeling good and all happy, joy. No, that I can say, he made me right.
Amen.
He took the mess that I made, and before I made it, it was already perfect, and he's brought me back to the perfection I always was.
Amen.
That's what I get excited about as a Christian. That's how I can get success in Christ, is recognizing I'm already perfect in grace.
Amen.
I'm perfect in him, and that's the message of the hour. That's what the bride needs to recognize. You always were the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Let me show you the Lamb's wife. We weren't born yet, but he was already showing them the Lamb's wife.
Amen.
To the point where John said he marveled at how beautiful this was.
Amen.
Oh, you might have marveled at that great whore, but that only lasted a season. This was something that got him shouting. This was something that got the whole place shouting.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless you.
Hallelujah. Oh, I got to read this. It'll be fun. Oh, this is... Lord, help us to hear tonight. Or this afternoon, rather. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about Paul's teaching now. We're talking about the book of Ephesus. We're talking about going back to what they had in the beginning. I mean, that's the message of the hour. The apostolic faith, what the apostles had, plus the revelation of 2014, which is taking that word and applying it to now. I hope you hear me now. It's good to believe that, but if it doesn't apply to now, you've missed the message yet. It must apply today. When you preach Noah and the ark, look, if you're out there building a boat, you've missed the revelation for the day. That's already fulfilled. But if you can recognize the revelation is to be in Christ, and that's the ark for this day that'll keep us out of the judgments, then you've got revelation.
Amen.
That's what we're here to talk about. How does the apostolic faith apply to today? They didn't take a rapture in that day. But the faith that's here, the same faith they had, will produce it in this day because it's the season.
Amen.
It wasn't the season then, but they had the same faith that we have now. Because when we raise, guess what? I don't know, maybe this is teaching or something, but the bride will bring up the rest of the body all throughout the ages.
Amen.
Now look what Paul had to say about this. And watch this master teacher, Paul. This is page 88 of my adoption book. I can't even say page anymore, can I? I guess if you got an older one, I think it might be different pages. Adoption 3, paragraph 35. And watch this master teacher, Paul. How many believes he was a master teacher to the church? Paul the Apostle. Oh, yes, sir. Without Paul the Apostle, we wouldn't have nothing. The guy in his predestination knew he would take a man that murdered Christians to make him save all the rest of them. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The first thing he does is knock out all the idea of falling away. Have you heard the message yet? That you need to knock it out of your theology of falling out of Christ. Knock out all the idea of ever being a Christian today, and tomorrow I'm gone. And the next day God condemns me, and the next day I'm back again. That's nonsense.
Amen.
This book is not addressed to evangelical teaching, evangelical sermons. I don't touch this on the fields. I bring this to the church. For Paul addressed it to the saints, those that are called and preserved and are filled and are set aside and are in the Holy Spirit, already in Canaan's land. He's trying to tell them the first thing, get it out of your mind that you're going to get lost and you're going to do this and you're scared of this. Don't be scared of nothing.
Amen.
He's trying to tell you who you're, where you're at, who you are, how you're standing. Now, you might do things wrong, and every time you do anything wrong, you're going to get paid for it. Yes, sir, you reap what you sow, but that has not one thing to do with your salvation.
Amen.
When you're born of the Spirit of God, you've got eternal life and can no more die than God can die.
Uh-huh.
You are a part of God. You are a son of God. And we've heard these quotes over and over again, but I pray that the children of God will get the revelation that you are as eternal as God is. That you are as saved as God is. That you are as sanctified and holy and pure as God is. You say, where's that? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he became sin that we might be the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So when the angels had to cover their faces to see God, they've got to cover their faces to see God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that seems pretty proud, Brother Ken, until you realize that he literally became me.
Amen.
That I could become him.
Amen.
Be a son of God just as he was.
Yes,
Lord. I got to read this. Now then, bear with me this morning. When you're by one Spirit, we're baptized into one body which is Christ, and we are safe forever. Now that is where it seems strangely striking, especially to the Arminian believers. They have to do something to merit themselves or some mediatorial something. How can it be two things at the same time? It's either by grace or by works. One. It can't be by the same thing. It's by two different things. It's got to be by the one. So which is it? Is it grace or is it works? I love this. I take this one home with you, all right? I just can't see nothing else but the grace of God. That's my makeup. I always did believe in grace. I'm just grace all over. That's all.
Amen.
And people will say, well, then why are you telling women to stop cutting their hair? Because they're going to reap for it. 1 Corinthians 11, you read it. If a woman prays or prophesies without her hair uncovered, she dishonors her head. That's not law. That's the grace of God to us to tell us these things.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad that it told me not to murder. Maybe I thought it was all right sometimes. No, it's not. You'll read for it. You'll probably go to jail. You'll probably burn up your family. You probably won't see your kids again. I'm glad the laws of God told me this. It is the grace that he showed it to me before I did it.
Amen.
And if I'm doing it, it's grace that he showed me, so I'll stop doing it.
Uh-huh.
Why does he tell women to dress modestly? Every time a man looks at you and lusts, you commit adultery.
Uh-huh.
He knows what's going to happen on judgment day because no adulterer will enter the kingdom of God. He's not trying to kick the adulterer out. He's trying to get her to stop doing it so they can come in.
Amen.
So that's why he tells women, dress modestly. So that way you're not the reason they're committing adultery. God knows your heart. If you're trying to be pure and holy, even if that man wants to lust anyways, it won't be your fault.
Right.
People throw that around. God knows my heart. He does. Beware. He really does. You can lie to me all you want to. Be as sincere as you want to. Be super Christian when I come over and vice versa and all this stuff. And I can just be the pious pastor. Oh my, I'm just so holy and all these things. But I can't fool him.
Amen.
That's why I don't have a problem getting up here and saying that I did something wrong. Because I don't want you to trust me. I will fail you.
Amen.
He can't.
Amen.
And the great shepherd, the great pastor stands here. And yeah, he might use my voice. But he never wants you to depend on me. He wants you to depend on him. And he wants you to hear today, you are saved by grace.
Amen.
When did that grace get extended to you and I? Before the foundation of the world. And that's our makeup from head to toe. That's why page 90, or adoption 359. That's the way it is with Christ. I'm 50. If I leave to be 90 or 100 or another 50 years to preach, and I never preach a time, go down and sit by the river, I'm saved anyhow. God saved me by his grace, unmerited of anything I ever could do, did do, or anything else. I preach because I love him, and I love his people. And that's the reason I know I've passed from death unto life, because I love them, and I go after them. No matter what kind of condition they're in, I go after them anyhow. Go get them anyhow. Pull them anyhow. If a minister disagrees and others disagree and denominations disagree, that don't stop me. There's something. It didn't stop him. He come right in the midst of their unbelief and it didn't stop him. He moved right on anyhow. That's what we do. Go out and get them. Catch them anyhow. No matter. Reach, grab, hold on with all your might. You don't know who they are. Save them. That's because of love. Not because that I have to, but because I love. Because you love. If your Christianity experience is still because you have to do this to please God, and you don't want it, and you can't do that because that would make God mad, and you just do and don't and do and don't and do and don't. You're not converted yet.
Amen.
Or you've lost the revelation of what it was to be converted in the first place. You serve God because you love him.
Amen.
If you do it for, and you can't fool him, you can't fool God. Just as much as you can't fool, as far as love goes, you know if somebody loves you.
Sure.
You know if they're just doing it so, you know, Jones down the street and see how good of a person you are. How many hates getting that kind of stuff? I just keep it. You know what I'm saying? If you want to give me $5 and put a plaque up that says, I gave $5 to Andrew, then don't give me the $5. You just keep it. And that's what God wants out of you and I. You know what he said? He said, do it even when you pray and you do your alms and all those things, do it in secret. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. We always want to get credit. What is that? The flesh. Because man, he tries to get humble. Man will try to get humble. But he gets so low, he's got to start building himself back up again. He can't get that humble just yet. But God was able to become the humblest of women. You and me had a nice hospital. Even Brother Tom had a nice hospital for his baby born. Our Savior was born in the manure. I even had somebody else talking to me about that. I said, he works with horses. I said, you see that stable out there? You see how nasty and smelly it is? I'm talking about it as worse because this was 2,000 years ago. It wasn't nice conditions like you guys probably now. Go back then. That's where the Savior of the world was born. That's where the King of this earth brought himself down. And you think he's going to come back with just a big angel salute and have his chest stuck out and his sword in his hand. He said, I'm here, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Now what does he do? He comes in a sweating, spitting, clammy mouth preacher. You're too busy thinking, well, I wish he would just shut up. I wish he wouldn't preach an hour. I wish he'd be done already. I want to go eat some lunch. I wonder how many people would give Jesus the time of day and he'd be standing right there in the service. I wonder if Brother Branham came to town and preached and we didn't tell whose name it was, how many people would be here? See the perception that too many people have. They say they're looking for God, but they're really looking at man. And then you will fail. It will break on you. Because even when they tried to make Jesus, Brother Branham Christ, he said, don't do that. You will make me the Antichrist.
Right.
People want to call him a cult leader. He had his opportunity right there. He blew that one, didn't he? Brother Branham didn't start a call. He was just a message. And I'm sure as much as he probably wished somebody else could have brought it. Because he still would have believed it anyhow. But he wished somebody else was have been the voice. He didn't have to deal with it all the time. And I'm sure Noah would have wished somebody else could have told the world that they're all going to die. But God used him. And I wish sometimes that somebody else could be up here and preaching. I didn't have to do this all the time. And badger you and beat you up and tell you to quit doing this, quit doing that. But it's not me doing that. It's the Spirit trying to keep us on the right way.
Amen.
I'm either at school and I'm dealing, they always tell me I'm negative. And I can't help but tell them, that stuff's taking you to hell. That'll take you to hell. That's going to take you to hell. You need to get that out of your life. I love you. That's why I'm telling it to you.
Amen.
I wish he'd have somebody else to have to stand there, but guess what? He chose me. And I'm not afraid to be his voice to this age, because that's what the bride's called to be. She's the final voice.
Amen.
To the final age. And what's the age? What is she saying? Grace! Come to grace before it's too late, and you have to take judgment. People think they want justice. I'm so glad God didn't have justice on them. They want God to be fair. I'm so glad he wasn't fair, and he chose me anyways. And we just want to throw the sinner right under the bus, don't we? He's gone. That serpent seed, he's gone. How do you know? There comes a time and place, and I tell you what, it won't be the bootlegger or the prostitute that you'll find. It'll be that person that's set into the message of the hour that's turned his back on it.
Amen.
That's the one that you'll say, you're a child of the devil, his work shall do. And it's a sad thing, but we're in that age, and I'm not afraid to say that about a man that'll take the word and try with all his might to destroy it.
Uh-huh.
You're of the devil. Because even a man that's just confused, even a man that's like Lot, and he's stuck in Sodom, but he wants to get out, he will not say, Sodom's all right. He will not condemn Abraham for being isolated. He'll say, man, I should be like Brother Abraham, but I just can't do it. That's the one that's still saved and maybe can't accept the word for their day.
Sure.
But a man that'll say, oh, my, that Abraham, he's a fanatic. You better not listen to him. He's got to say, you're hellbound. Ordained a brute beast, and no matter how many times the Holy Spirit can come down and show exactly what you're thinking and saying, you'll never be converted. Where is that? And I want to encourage you. Let me read this here. Option 3, paragraph 100. I'll go look them up. Excuse me, hold on. 101, let me read this now. But how do you know that old bootlegger down here is not predestinated to life? How do you know that old streetwalker that you won't even speak to? How do you know that little handshake and invite her to church wouldn't make a saint of God out of her, beyond her in glory? How do you know she's not? That's what we don't know, but that's our duty. You wonder why we brought people in here and you see them covering tattoos and don't even know what it means to be here. Got earrings pierced. Don't even have a thing about Christians. Why are they still here? We don't know. Women come in. They're not dressed modestly. They don't know what it's all about. They're just sitting here, just trying to, and they feel the presence of God come down. That's what we want. Because if there's a seed there, it's got to quicken.
Amen.
And don't you be afraid. Don't you worry about it. Now, Christian church, and I believe we're in a group of believers today. I want to teach you this. You have to be stable no matter what comes.
Amen.
Because an unbeliever can come in with devils and make a big ruckus. You have to be stable. No, not fear, not doubt, not have confusion. But that greater is he that's with you than even what's with that devil. I will give you a situation that happened to me. I think Dad will remember this. We were at Brother Tom's, and they brought in a bunch of, mentally disabled people behind me. And just all kinds of cases. And there was this one service, Brother Tom was up there preaching. And he was this black boy back there just started growling. Like, and it's the devil. I knew it just as much as anybody. And I didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet, but I knew well enough to just sit there and respect God and we'll be okay.
Amen.
Did fear come into my mind? Absolutely. But I didn't yield to it. Just say, amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't turn around. I didn't pay it no attention. And don't pay the devil no attention.
Amen.
He'll leave.
Amen.
That's all he wants. Isn't that what a bully wants out of you? He just wants your attention. He just wants you to give him praise for how he's rocking everything up. No, no, no. Just ignore him. He'll leave. And sure enough, it didn't take too long. Brother Tom just kept preaching. He didn't stop one leg. He just kept on going. Just like nothing was going on. I mean, Brother Kent, you were there too. That's right. Mom probably was too, if I remember right. Holy Spirit took over. Nothing to worry about.
Amen.
What tells you to fear at any moment is the devil. Because a godly fear is not what we call fear. Godly fear is like awe and reverence and respect. That's so much. It's just like you would have for your father or for one another and think, that's what godly fear is. When the Bible says, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and things like that. Fearing the Lord out of trembling and shaking and stuff, that shows you're not right with God. You hear me now? If you're afraid to get in the presence of God, it shows that there's sin in your life and you can't hide it. You know he sees it. And you're afraid to get to his presence because you know you'll have to condemn it. But a Christian says, Lord, that's all right.
Hey,
forgive me.
Yes,
take it away so I don't wear this anymore. Hallelujah. I want to finish with one quote, if that's all right. It's out of the church in the book. How many's enjoying the word today? How many's grateful for the grace of God? Brother Brandon's speaking of the book of life, and I don't want to teach a whole lot. I just want to show you about the bride of Christ here. It says, first of all, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself that would be a word bride. She was chosen before the foundation of the world, and capitalized now, him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. And then he goes through the different types of people in the book of life, but he makes this statement that I want to finish on. Since this portion of the word is hard for the human mind to grasp, and I'm sure if you've thought about predestination, election, and eternity, and things like that, your mind runs out.
Sure.
It can't do it. They can't get to that point.
Right.
It tries and tries and tries, and before you know it, you're gone. You're somewhere else. Because the human mind can't do that. Since this portion of the word is hard for the human mind to grasp, it must be accepted and believed. Some will be offended by what I've set forth because they fail to understand the sovereignty of God, which sets forth that God is God. And because he is God, one cannot defeat his counsels or thwart his will and purpose. But he, being omnipotent, is ruling in all affairs and is doing whatever he will with all his creation because all were created for his good pleasure. What's the message of grace? That there is an election. There is a choosing of God that happened. I use that term because we can only understand it that way, but it never really happened. It always was. It was always decided. He never changed his mind about it. He never added one thing, took one thing away. And that's why we read there in the book of Hebrews why the Holy Ghost is given to you and I is to witness to us our election.
Amen. Wow. That's good.
God knows it. He knows those that are his. That's his seal.
Amen.
He knows those that are his. We, walking in the world, didn't know we were his.
Right.
But something on the inside could never get away from it. Some of you know the story when I fell off the bridge. And I to this day, I really don't remember what happened. But I do remember this one thing that I could see there. And my dad, I guess I'll just skip to that. My dad met me in the hospital and he said something like, were you ready to meet your maker? Because the fall is a good, probably 30 feet, 20, 30 feet, something like that. He said, you ready to meet your maker? I said, I think I am. And then I began to realize, and I could almost zoom out of when I like the panoramic of the bridge, and me laying there, just white everywhere, thinking, am I ready to cross into that path? Am I really ready to do that? I began to think, well, what if I'm Methodist? What if I'm a Baptist? And right then I had this revelation, no, it's the blood that matters. And do I have this? Do I know who this God is? I've heard about him. Do I know anything about this? To be honest with you, I didn't. Didn't know the first thing. Do you have to learn a lot to get saved? No, but you need to learn what it means. You need to learn your loss before you'll ever learn how to get saved.
Sure.
And I came to that day. I came to that day, and God is my witness. I remember Dad went to Brother Tom's church, and this is twice the size here. So don't you feel like we're in a small church. This is twice the size. Easy. And I remember I even pictured in my head, now it didn't look like this, but I pictured in my head one of those old steeple churches that he was going to. Because he was going by himself. Why? Because my dad wanted to be right with God. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. If I was going to mom, it didn't matter. Because when God begins to move on somebody, they'll give up everything, because that's what Christ told me to do. If you're not willing to get rid of your father, your mother, your wife, your children, even your own self, you're not worthy to be my disciple. And he began to go to that church, and all of a sudden started meeting. I began to think, yeah, I'd like to do that. So I've been in big churches, and I sat there and tried to endure the whole time, and, man, are we done yet? And, you know, yeah, we get to sing a song, we get to go home, I get to eat Cheetos. You know, that's all it was to me. And I'm sure you've been in services the same. It's like, well, okay, that was a good talk. I guess I could have went to some other convention, or I could have done this. And then we go to youth meetings, and what do? Oh, we'll read a scripture, and then we'll just play Xbox like we always did, and let's go do this and that. And playing games and things, I'm not going to condemn the whole thing, but I'll tell you real quick, you better be careful. That stuff, they don't think nothing. You're just way off there, never serving the Lord, not doing anything for God. God help us. God help us. And I've seen it almost plenty of message places I've been to, people that are supposed to serve the Lord. They're back in the big TV, they got the Xbox there, they got things. They don't have cable now, but they got enough entertainment to take up that time. And if they want to watch the Super Bowl, guess what? Well, we'll go to our buddy's house that's got cable. Why don't you just put it in your house then, if you're just going to go jump in with the phone with everybody else? No, sir, I'm here to get away from that film. Okay? And the Holy Spirit began to work with me. I did go to the wrong way of grace and went toward legalism. And I think any Christian, I think that's even good, to be honest with you, for a little while. Because you have to learn some boundary lines. You got to learn that not everything's good. And actually, there's a lot of bad. Very little is good. In this world, there's nothing good in it. You can watch 700 Club, you can watch Gaithers and things like that. You get in their lives a little bit, you'll throw it in trash. Just let them know that. You go, oh my goodness, I don't want nothing to do with this. There's only one thing I want to do. God help us. Be sincere. And I did. And I was the first one to actually kick TV out. I stopped doing this, stopped doing that, and I'm going to get saved. Guess what? No, sir. No. You can't do it. You can't do it. I would pray. God help me. God help me. God help me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. I didn't. Why? I'm not in grace. I'm in legalism. I've left grace. That's a terrible place to be. There's no point in being a lukewarm Christian. There's no point in being a legalist. You're more miserable than you were as a sinner. You might as well just stay a sinner. Because at least you'll just know where you're going instead of guessing, instead of rolling the dice. I'd much rather know I'm going to die in a week than to every day I've got to roll a dice, and if it hits five, I'm going to die. You hear me now? That's what people do with their soul. Then when the Holy Ghost didn't meet me, I really didn't go the other route. Until after you get the Holy Ghost, he tends to teach you the other boundary line, and that's where you're going. Not just straight out sin now, but I mean like, oh, okay, we'll play a little Halo and I'll shoot some guys in the head. That's all right. Are you hearing me now? And it's subtle. It's just a game, right? It's just a game. That stuff will warp your mind. I'll listen to this song. You know, it's not too bad, I guess. I mean, it's kind of rocky and things. It sounds like the world, and they really just said Jesus instead of whatever they said in the other song. And they're just changing the worldly songs and making them Christian and things. Well, that's not too bad until you figure out where that came from. And really, here's a guideline for any believer that's here. If there's a vow, do it. And not because somebody's going to come to your house and, oh my, you know, you're not spiritual because you have this. No, it's because you recognize Jesus is always in your house.
Amen.
He always sees you. He always knows what you're. And if a man, that's the only time man will sin. When he doesn't, he's in the presence of God. Right? Because the second he recognizes him in the presence of God, oh my, he shakes up through. That's why a lot of people won't come to Brother Branham's meetings. How many knows that? Because they knew. Because sin would get exposed. He would be discerning this line, and that line would be filing out of here before their sins got exposed. God had mercy because they still had it when they got out there. Right? You can't run from the presence of God. You might as well quit trying. Jonah tried to run too, and it followed him all the way to the bottom of the ocean. So he got right. He said, okay, I'll go, Lord. And maybe that's where we're at today. Maybe you're at the bottom of the ocean. That doesn't mean you're lost just yet. Because if you've got the littlest inkling to serve God, and I'm glad to see God moving on the hearts of women.
Amen.
If you've got the littlest inkling, it's time to yield to that and to come into grace. Well, God, I can't save myself, but I'm here to let you do that. God, I know you have to expose why I'm wrong. Do it. Let my sins just be exposed. I don't care who's here. I don't care who's in it. I don't care if the pastor sees it. I don't care if anybody sees it. I want to be right.
Amen.
And that's when you'll get somewhere with God. And I believe we've been having that happen. I'm not trying to take Christianity. Was it last Sunday already? It feels like it's been eternity, don't it? Because I believe we're leaving. I believe we're getting into eternity right now, where time doesn't mean anything anymore. You see Brother Ronnie come up in here, and I began to see the Holy Ghost take that all away. Why? He wanted it. Before we got here, and I don't mean to, and I believe he thinks this is okay. I was out there and I watched him get down on the knees and pray, and I could just tell, oh God, you got something for Brother Ronnie today.
Amen.
God is my witness. That's exactly what I thought. And then we have a service, and it wasn't a bunch of screaming and shouting. It was just teaching the Word. Remember, he taught the bleach, pneumonia, and how many appreciated that?
Amen.
How many realized that that's the revelation? Don't mix this stuff. And then we begin to yield to the Spirit of God. Why? We're getting believers, just like on the day of Acts, that all believe and all one accord. All know that they're under grace, and we're not trying to work it up. We're here to yield to it.
Amen.
And to realize that we're all a part of it. That's why the best services you'll have are when all the believers finally realize, I'm in heavenly places. I can be used of God, and God wants to use me. And we begin to watch the power of God to live, and to save, and to heal, and to bring restoration. And that's why we came again today. Because if the devil built any stronghold, we aren't here to let it build up anymore. We're here to tear the thing down by the Spirit of God. And maybe even the things I've said today are hard to be understood. Don't you worry about that. Believe what the Word said. Believe what it said anyhow. Say, maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not. Maybe I can do this, maybe I can do that. No, just love Him. Just love Him. And I mean it from your heart. If you'll just love Him with all you can, He will let you know what to do. How many of you would spank your child and never tell him what he did? Would that even cross your mind to just whack your child and never tell him what he did wrong? Why in the world would you think God would do that to you?
Why?
Can't find the will of God. I don't know what he wants. I don't know. Chances are you're walking in it and you're trying to look for something way big and super, and it's not. And he wants you just to serve him. Maybe just getting on your knees and just loving on him a little bit and saying, Lord, I love you. I appreciate you. Maybe that's all he wanted today.
Amen.
Isn't that what you want sometimes? When you go home just to have your wife come up and give you a big hug? You don't got to take you out and buy you all this stuff and do all these things all the time. Maybe he just wants love. Maybe that's why we're even here. Maybe that's not maybe. Maybe that's exactly why we're here. Is God wants to feel the love he had for us projected back through us.
Amen.
To him. Hallelujah. Don't make grace disgrace. Don't make grace legalism. Leave it what it is, and it's the Word. But God chose us, and then He loves us, and in return, we love Him. I forgot to read that scripture because I want to show you that why it's not works, but yet works are part of it. He says this, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's your salvation. Well, what's the next verse? What's the next verse got to say? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So that's not our salvation now, but that's what we are. We were in Him, and we're created in Him, and we'll do the same works that He did because we're the same.
Amen.
We were created, and not only that, but to do good works, but which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. If you want to do the will of God, realize that your life's ordained.
Amen.
It's predestinated. Where you are is where you're supposed to be. And if you'll just do what the Word said, wherever you are, you will walk in His will, because His Word and His will are the same.
Amen.
Let's stand together this afternoon. Hallelujah, Lord. Don't you be afraid to worship God. If you recognize yourself elected, you've got a reason to worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to sing Grace to Grace. Absolutely. Song right at the beginning. If you don't know it, but I think A's the song. Grace to Grace, just that chorus. If you don't know Grace to Grace, Marvelous Grace. Oh, just worship and praise the Lord. Thank Him for His Word today, church. Hallelujah. Let's sing that and worship. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God's grace. Oh, just praise Him now. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, grace. Thank you, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. God's grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Whose grace that it's greater than all Your sin. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord.
Grace that is greater than all.
Every eye closed, every hand raised. Thank You for His grace today.
Oh, grace.
Just worship Him your own way. Just worship Him. Just thank Him and praise Him today. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah. I challenge you, friend. I don't know your heart, but I know God does. And I stand today as His servant to tell you that if you are not in the grace of God, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will have to stand on Judgment Day with your own merits. I warn you, come into grace now. You must believe Him. Believe until you receive it. Believe until the change is taking place in your heart. And you don't desire the things of the world. You desire Him. We know you'll slip up. We know we make mistakes. But, oh God, let my heart be pure before You. I'm not going to ask you to come forward today because the Holy Spirit's here. If you don't know you're saved, you need to get a revelation today and say, God, I need the cloud of doubt to leave my life. Get desperate with God. He'll get desperate with you. Hallelujah. Respect His brethren. Respect Him. He'll respect you. Remember the prodigal son didn't have to earn his way back. He just had to be sincere. And his father opened his arms and took him back in. Remember the Lord that got down and beat at his breast. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Bible says he left justified. He left free from sin. Hallelujah. Even if you're a Christian and Satan just muddling up your vision, I tell you today, the Word's here. And the Word in the form of the Spirit's here to give you eye salve and to wash your eyes clean and to be able to see yourself under grace, to see yourself elected before the foundation of the world, to see yourself already in glory, raising your hands right there as you are now, worshiping and praising Him because you were ordained before the foundation of the world to do so. Hallelujah. Oh, Christian, Lord, the Holy Spirit's here. Let Him, right there, keep yielding to God. Hallelujah. Don't hold back. Don't be reserved. Don't get pious with God. Be sincere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can pray a certain prayer and say fancy words, but that doesn't mean anything. You have to hear from Him. Let his voice that speaks today say to you, you are my child. I have saved you. I have filled you with my spirit. Hallelujah. Hear his voice, children. Hear his voice. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Oh, the way in Laodicea 2014, darkest age ever to be here, the Spirit still speaks today. Hallelujah. 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 Just letting the Holy Spirit do it to please each one. Continue to be sincere. Continue to be sensitive. Continue to let doubt leave and to let faith reside. Keep believing his promise. Keep raising in grace. And say, God, I believe your grace. I believe your grace to me. I believe I'm selected. And you told me to ask whatever I will, and you'll give it. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your loved ones. Do you have need of healing today? I will say that. If you want me, you want hands laid on you for healing, we can do that today. If you've got a physical ailment, you've got a demon spirit, I believe in casting out devils. I'm not here to put on a front. I believe the word is true. I believe him. And he said, these signs will follow the believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have nothing else to say, Lord Jesus. You speak, Father. Speak to each heart. Speak to each heart. Don't leave discouraged. Don't leave defeated, Christian friend. Christ did too much on the cross for you to be that way. Hallelujah. He gave his all so you could have all. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you for freeing us, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace and love. Hallelujah, Lord. God, each one. I pray not one of them missed it on that day. I pray that today they would find themselves in the right place with you. Jesus, grant to each one of us, Lord. May there not be one speckle of doubt in our experience, but may we have a rock-solid foundation in the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to us. May each believer find themselves in the Word of God. And Lord, may we not take it casually, but may we recognize that you've given us a kingdom, and that kingdom is within us. And then that kingdom will destroy the kingdom of the devil every time, every place, everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yield yourself to God. Now let him use you. That thought isn't just by chance. The Holy Spirit's trying to get you to say what the Logos already said before the foundation of the world and what he predestinated to be said today. April 13, 2014. Hallelujah. 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 We reverence his presence. I will let you, if you want to come forward in the order of the service, that is, you can come forward. I'd be happy to pray with you and believe with you for your request. If you can receive it right there, receive it right now. But I say, Christian, don't leave with doubt. Leave free. Hallelujah. Pray for one another. Love one another. Think of one another. I'll let Dad keep playing. If you want to sing that, that's fine. Pray with our sister. Thank you. you. We rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ. Body, come into submission to this word. Be well in the name of Jesus Christ. May the pain leave his shoulders. Lord, may he be able to work just fine. May he be in the house of God, worshiping you without any pain. We rebuke you, devil, and we accept this healing and agree together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe this. Amen. Believe it, brother. Don't give it no more attention. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Be well, boy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you for your mercy, grace. Thank you, blessing. Thank you, Jesus. All worship him, children. Lift your voices to the King. Challenge you, Christian, don't stop short of that Jordan River. If you've held back anything from God, you'll never get any success in God. You've got to total surrender. Nothing. You can't hold back anything. You've got to let go of your hands of all of it so he can put his hands all over it. All of it. He's not trusting us to do something. He's trusting us to believe it. Cross, just keep rising. Grace of God. Keep forgetting the world and stay in his presence and say, God, just let me raise right out of this realm. Let me pull from a resource of eternity. Don't be distracted with anything that's going on, even around you, even in your life. Don't worry about any of that. This life is such a passing moment anyways. Pull from eternity today, church. Your opportunity to have complete victory. Complete victory comes from complete surrender to Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right up on God. Thank you, Jesus. just love it. Just thank you. Oh, how I love Jesus because he I believe that's all he wants to hear from you right now. It's just to love him. Sing it for us again. When the changing before baptism. You change to be baptized.
Yes.
Go ahead and get in the baptism room. You change and ready. If you want to stay and worship the Lord and see some praying and things, I don't want to disrespect, right? But I believe we're going to watch a great thing happen. Well, I believe in baptism. I believe it's going to help us the Lord and try to do that for the reason. I'm so grateful for that. But if you want to stay and asking his presence, and if you need something else from the Lord, I believe that's just fine. If you'd like to come and watch and support our brother, I think that'd be good too. So you do whatever you feel led. If you're dismissed today.